That is over there. Jyotish Bimba. Okay? What does Jyotish Bimba mean? So, Jyotish, Jyoti means light. Alright? So, he's saying that when you look up in the sky, you will see these lots of bodies of light. That is what all your grahas and nakshatras are. They are just bodies of light. Jyotish Bimba. It is called Jyotisha because the study of those bodies is called Jyotisha. Alright? There are all these lots of bodies moving. Some are not moving. Some are very still. All these bodies of light, some are still. They are fixed. They are not moving. And some are moving very slowly. So those which are, but both bodies have light. Okay? So those which are not moving and are still and are completely fixed in one place are called nakshatras. They are called nakshatras. Okay? And then there are those bodies with light. You can see they are moving slowly. They are moving. And those bodies are called the grahas. Okay? So now when we are talking about nakshatras, when we are saying there are these bodies which are not moving, then what are we saying? What is it that which doesn't move? What kind of a guna is it?
Tamas
guna. It is tamas guna because it is not moving. Anything that is stagnated, anything that is sthira, anything that is fixed, anything that is not moving is tamas. You will be studying rashis, you will be studying bhavas, you will see, you will talk about, you will be learning about tamas rashis, all these things you will learn. So tamas means that which is not moving. So by this definition, nakshatras are tamas. Because they are fixed, they are not moving at all. They are not moving bodies, yet they have light. So how can a body that is tamasic have light? Tamasic is supposed to be all darkness. When you study about the three gunas, tamas is supposed to be complete darkness and ignorance. So if it is complete darkness and ignorance, then where is the light coming from? So this is a different kind of tamas that we are talking about. This tamas is not the tamas of ignorance. This tamas is not the tamas of darkness because it has light. So it is not the tamas of darkness. Get the point? This is the tamas of perfection. That which is perfect does not need to change, does not need to transform. If you don't need to change and you don't need to transform, you don't need to move, you can just be still where you are. That is like Shiva. That is like Shiva. Does Shiva change? Shiva doesn't change. What he said now and what he said 10,000 years ago and what he will be saying 10,000 years from now will be the same thing. He is the unchanging one. He is perfect. He is right. He is not imperfect. He is the perfect one. He is Thira. He is unchanging. Yet he has light, right? He is Shiva. So it is not the darkness or darkness of ignorance. So these nakshatras are like Shiva. They have that energy. They have light, but they are perfect. So they don't need to transform. They don't need to change. That is why they are unmoving. On the other hand, grahas are rajas because they are moving. Grahas are changing. They are not perfect. You all very well know that by now grahas are not perfect, right? They are not perfect. They need to change all the time. They need to transform all the time. Okay? Because they are transforming, they are moving. Movement is chara. Hence, they are the guna that is there is rajas guna. Justin, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay? Because they are moving, they are chara. That which is chara is rajas guna. That which is chara is rajas guna. That which is moving is constantly changing. It's constantly transforming. Okay? And that also has light. So, though it is rajas, that also has light. Both the nakshatras and the grahas have light. So, what is that light? That is the light which we talked about yesterday. That is the light, is the light of the avatara. That is that part of the graha which is the incarnation of Janardana. That 10%, remember? We did it?
Yes.
So that is the light which is the avatar. So when we are actually trying to worship a graha, we are trying to access that 10% of Paramatma Amsha in the graha. Though the entire graha is graha, I mean is an incarnation. So that is the sattva part of a graha. The light is the sattva part. That is the avatara part. Whereas in nakshatra, there is a light and there is, it is fixed. So the tamas is not a black tamas. That means, can we say, since nakshatras also have light, that nakshatras can also have avatars? Light is the sattva, right? Then it can have avatars? Sure, you can have avatars of Shiva. You can have avatars of Rudra. So all the avatars associated with nakshatras would be more Shiva avatars and Rudra avatars. Avatars associated with graha are Vishnu avatars, which we have already done. So these Jyotish bimbas which we discuss, which we are discussing over here, so we have the ones which are tamasic, which are not moving, and there are those Jyotish bimbas which are rajasic because they are moving, but both the tamas and the rajas have light in them, that is both of them have sattva in them. Light is nothing but sattva. Okay, so what are we saying? We are saying that the nakshatras and grahas both have sattva guna in them. That is the light. Whereas nakshatra is sattva and tamas, graha is rajas and sattva. Are you clear on this?
Sarbaniji.
Yeah, tell me.
Nakshatra is fixed, but is it fixed in actuality or only because of a geocentric view?
Nakshatra is fixed. Nakshatras
truly not moving regardless of...
Yeah, nakshatras don't move. They are fixed. And that is why this tamas of the nakshatras, what we are calling, it's a divine tamas. We call it Amrita tamas. This tamas, the tamasic nature of nakshatra, as defining from the other tamas, which is the tamas that is of ignorance, which we talk about, this tamas is called Amrita tamas. It is called Amrita tamas because it also has that sattva guna.
Ignorance as Amrita
tamas? Yeah, no. See, when you learn about the gunas, because you maybe haven't learnt about the gunas and tattvas are the basis of all when you read the grahas, rashis, charts, everything, about ourselves, everything. So gunas are the state of mind, the quality of our beings. Tamas is supposed to be a completely fixed. You have sthira rashis, you will learn rashis. You will learn a lot about gunas when you do rashis. Okay, in depth. I'll just give you the headlines and then the news will follow in the rashi section. So when we are saying that which is rajas is that which is chara, which is it moves a lot. There's a lot of movement over there. And then that which is sattva is evenly balanced. No, that is not sthir. It is evenly balanced. That which is sthir is tamas. It doesn't move at all. So that which is tamas, which doesn't move, doesn't have light. It is totally dark and it is darkness from ignorance. When the mind is, you know, a person who is sleeping all the time is considered to have a lot of tamasic guna. A person who is not doing anything, just sitting, lazing around, sleeping, that is tamas guna. A lot of people indulging in a lot of nefarious activities, a lot of dark activities, a murderer may be filled with tamasic gunas because those are the thoughts, they are there. There is no light over there, there is no sattva guna. It's ignorance. It's a total ignorance, it's the darkness of ignorance. Whereas rajas guna is a lot of manifestation, a lot of creation. The whole world is created because of rajas guna. If there were no movement, the molecules would not have moved, the air wouldn't have moved, the tattvas wouldn't have moved, creation wouldn't have taken place. So that is chara, that is rajas. It is associated with Brahma. You will read that. It's associated with the deities and everything. Brahma is associated over there. There's a lot of movement over there and creation happens over there. And sattva is an equal balance between this inertness and ignorance and between this complete movement. So that inertness is actually Shiva, is a Rudra guna, between Rudra and Brahma. And this sattva, which is a perfect balance, it is Vishnu's energy. This is, I'm telling you, very hurriedly in two lines. There is a lot into it. Why the three deities are mapped into the three gunas. So Brahma's is the energy of creation, which is Rajas. which is Chara also. Then Tamas is the energy of Shiva, because in the whole Srishti Chakra, the destruction is done by Shiva. Hence it is associated with Tamas Guna. Alright? But Tamas Guna means all negative gunas, where there is no light, there is darkness, where you are completely without any kind of knowledge, you are a totally ignorant person in every way. And Sattva Guna is like Vishnu, very balanced, very even. And Sattva Guna is what sustains the universe. That is the Sthiti Chakra that we discussed yesterday. When we discussed Sthiti Chakra, that is the sustenance after creation has happened. So sustenance was done by Vishnu Avatara. Vishnu sustains, feeds you, maintains peace and harmony along with Lakshmi. Shiva destroys, that is why associated with Tamas. And Brahma creates, that is why associated with Rajas. And the other part is Rajas is movement, so it should be associated with Chararashis, and Tamas is associated with Sthirarashis, and Sattva is associated with Dual Rashis. This, when you study Rashis, this will be taught to you in detail. What I'm telling you in 5 minutes will be taught to you entirely in the Rashi. Rashi section, Rashi Drishti section, you will learn all this. So you are preempting the questions to me. I'm answering in one line. I'm not getting into it because then I have to teach 12 days in 1 hour. That is what all of you are doing to me. So here the question came in, if we say the nakshatras are not moving, and that is a Jyotish Bimba, he told us. There are Jyotish Bimbas who are not moving and some who are moving. So if they are not moving and they are fixed, so they are tamas, then what is that tamas? Because they also have light. They are Jyotish Bimbas. They all have Sattva Guna. They have light. Sattva is the light of the God. So if they have the light of the God, then what is that tamas? So it is not the tamas that we talked about when we talked about the manifested Rashis and all that. It is not that ignorance. It is not the murderers. It is not the inertness. It is the tamas of perfection. When you are not moving also, like Shiva doesn't move, he is thira, but he is perfect. So it is that part, that tamas is called Amrita tamas. Amrita tamas means divine tamas. And that divine tamas or Amrita tamas is Shiva's tamas. Shiva who is unmoving, who is perfect, who is unchanging. We are not like that. We cannot be that. We cannot be perfect like him. He is perfect. We cannot be perfect like him. So we change all the time. We are transforming all the time. Right? So the tamas of the nakshatra is this Amrita tamas. It's Shiva's energy. Why Shiva's energy? Because light is there. It is a Jyotish Bimba. If light wasn't there, then it would have been a totally tamasic body. Maybe a black hole. Those who are interested in astronomy knows there are some things called black holes. Do you know black holes? There are no lights over there. In the definition, astronomical definition, no. That is probably not an Amrita tamas or a total tamas. But a nakshatra, hence, is carrying Shiva's energy. Alright? And so you can have Shiva avatars and Rudra avatars also. Get the point? This is the difference between it. Two kinds of tamas. So they both have an aspect of the divine in them. That is how he is defining. Sangyani, the word Sangyani means definition. Graha Sangyani, Nakshatra Sangyani is the definition. But what are we doing from the beginning? We are only doing the definitions of the grahas. This is definition of the grahas. So you know when we say, oh, we break the basics and we know the definition of grahas, so then I would assume you know all these definitions, what it really means. You can just know that maybe nakshatra doesn't move and grahas move, but what does it mean? It means that they have these gunas in them. Jyotish is based on guna and tattva. That is the whole Jyotish. You have to know that you know your tattvas, you know you can read a chart. That's it. Okay? So,
Sarbani ji, yeah, can I interrupt you? Nakshatras are tamas plus sattvic,
yeah,
and grahas are
rajas
and sattvic.
Yeah, the light is there, na? The light is the sattva. That is why the avatars are there. Otherwise, there would have been no avatars. Okay, so what are we seeing? We are seeing that these bodies, these grahas, are at two kinds, right? There seems to be a gross body and then there seems to be a subtle body. So there seems to be a graha which is rajasic, which is transforming, moving, doing its bit. And then there seems to be this part which is sattva, which has got light, which is sattva, which is the avatara part of it. So what is that avatara part of the graha that we did yesterday? That is the sattva part, right? That is a subtle body. So planet itself is both a gross body and a subtle body. Sukshma body. The graha also has a sukshma body. So if you see a Jupiter in the chart, actually a Jupiter, there are two Jupiters. There is a sukshma Jupiter and there is a gross Jupiter. Sthula Jupiter. Right? Many people who study Jyotishas, they say these should be pointed out in or mapped in different points. But that is not so. They are not two Jupiters and you have two, three Jupiters in the horoscope and the skies. One subtle Jupiter, one gross Jupiter. No. Point is the one. Is the way they are manifesting and the way you are studying them, the way you are perceiving them, the way they are manifesting. That is the way you see whether it is the subtle Jupiter or it is the sthula Jupiter. I can give you an example. This Krishna Marga, you know, the great astrologer Harihara has told us that wherever Jupiter is placed in your chart, that is where God is. Jupiter represents the divine and the God in your chart. Yes, wherever Jupiter is placed, that is God. But we also know the other sides of Jupiter also. So that means there is this probably is the subtle level. It is a subtle level self. And then the gross level self it is. But now if you are saying it is actually in the physical body, can we calculate the subtle graha? We can calculate, why not? We can calculate the light. The subtle graha is represented by the light. Jyotish bimba, that is what Parashara has told us. These are Jyotish bimba, bodies of light. So if we can measure or know how to calculate the amount of light these grahas are emanating, we can see, we can calculate and then, you know, make a perhaps a deeper study of that. So what are these lights which the grahas are emanating? They are known as rays. They are known as rays. Yes, they are known as rays. So the rays are what is emanated by the grahas. Okay, and perhaps we can calculate these rays. It is said that Sri Krishna, remember, moon exalted in Lagna, Chandra Avatara, Sri Krishna has perfect all the 16 rays. He said he has the 16 rays of the moon. This is what it is said. What are the 16 rays of the moon? Purna Shola Kala. Yeah. What is this Kala? What is this rays of the graha? So can we calculate? Yeah. Shodashakala. He is known as that. Shodashakala. The full rays of the planet is in him. Remember we've already studied that he is a Purna Avatara.
What's
that? Oh, okay. Oh, that's a tricky joke. I thought it was somebody's mobile or something. So, okay. So maybe we can calculate that. So not only are we getting these grahas and nakshatras, but we are seeing that the grahas also are at two levels. There are gross level and there are subtle level. Sukshma grahas and gross grahas. But we calculate them at one point. Though you may hear that they may be calculated in different points, that is not so. They are calculated in one point. Where Jupiter is in your chart or where Venus is in your chart, it is that point. It is encompassing the sthula, rupa and the sukshma rupa. Both are incorporated in that. Okay.
Sabaniji?
Yeah, tell me.
Are the rays of the non-luminaries refracted light from the sun, or are they truly their own light?
No, in Jyotish, they believe they have the light. The non-luminaries refracted light, that is astronomy. Astronomy says that. But Jyotish here, they are very clear that the grahas have lights.
So the 16 rays of the moon is not coming from the sun.
No. They actually believe that the grahas themselves have light. The moon also has light from the sun.
Yeah.
That is why moon is special. Moon is considered a luminary. We don't consider the other grahas as luminary, right? Do we consider them? They are not. Moon is considered a luminary because it also has that huge part of sunlight, reflected sunlight. That is why moon is there. But we are saying all the other grahas, but moon also has a light of its own. So does all the other grahas. They all have lights of their own. And unlike in astronomy where we believe grahas don't have light, in Jyotish we believe they have light. That is why they are called Jyotish Bimbas, bodies of light. You will learn about bodies which also don't have light in the. We'll be teaching you that. Aprakasha grahas are there. Aprakasha grahas are bodies with grahas without physical bodies and who don't have light. So there is no sattva in them. Even upagrahas, I think, don't have light, if I'm not mistaken. So, in the last section of your graha section, you actually do upagrahas and aprakasha grahas. So, the whole concept of the planets are getting changed. Right?
Sabani ji, you use subtle grahas. What did you use? Subtle grahas.
The light, this light that we are talking about, that light, the paramatma part of the graha that is there, that is the subtle graha. That is the, I said, no, the graha has both light and the rajas. So the light that is there in the graha is that part which is the paramatma part, the avatara part. So that part of the graha is at a very uchcha level. So when we are perceiving and studying grahas in the chart, we are both studying them as subtle grahas and studying them as sthula grahas. You will learn that.
Okay, sthula means, okay, I'll learn it later.
You will learn how it is to study grahas at both levels. We are even saying that there is calculation. You can perhaps even calculate the light of the grahas. Okay? It is said, people say maybe we can do that. We are not doing that here, but there is that thing that maybe we can do that. But we are saying that the grahas can be perceived at both levels.
Okay. Stula means, I'm not sure.
Gross.
Gross.
Yes. Gross. Something, do you know the meaning of gross?
Overall.
No. I used English and I used Sanskrit. Now, beyond this is a little bit difficult for me. Gross is that which is something very... what is your mother tongue?
Telugu.
Bhogendranaji?
Yes.
Can you explain to him what sthula and sukshma mean or gross and subtle? He doesn't understand both the Sanskrit and the English words.
Maybe later on in the break.
Subtle means... Okay, yes, Shashank.
I mean, it's like a light bulb, for instance. You know, I mean, the lamp is gross, and the light that is emanating out of it is subtle.
Subtle is that which has a very delicate level. It is that which is at a very, very delicate level. Something that cannot be seen with the physical eye. Whereas the grossness has a very gross physicality about it. There is a gross form about it, gross physicality about it. Subtle is that which is intangible.
Our body is a
subtle gross body. Like
yeah, we have astral bodies. Yeah. We have sukshma sharira. They say this body that you are seeing is a gross body with our bones, our blood, our muscles, our everything. But there is a body, there is an energy body. Many people will tell you. People do aura reading. Have you heard of it? There is an energy body. People do acupuncture in China. How do they do it? They are putting the needle on your energy field. This energy field we can't see, right? It's something very delicate. So what is this? This delicate thing is subtle. That which you can't see is very delicate. Rahu and Ketu, they don't have physical bodies. Our spiritual thing, people have a lot of spiritual aura around them. We have, like, saints have a lot of, maybe in the spiritual level or, you know, people who are big saints, what we were talking about, they are so much in the higher level. They are so much connected to the energies maybe of the outside universe. That is a subtle level connection. They are totally tuned, that is a subtle level. Are they physically going to the other universe? No. They are completely tuned at a mental vibrations. Those are subtle. Mental vibrations are subtle. You cannot see mental vibrations. They operate at a delicate plane. Plane which is very refined. Subtle means very refined. Intangible. Delicate. Sukshma. Sukshma means literally.
Normal.
This. This. This, what do you think? Is a print on the sari?
Yes.
You think this is a print on the sari?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now see, this is not a print. This is hand, it's woven. You know a loom? It is woven. But this weave is so sukshma, you can't see the weave. You think it's a print. So this is also sukshma. That which is very fine.
That is not apparent to us. When subtleness is also a related thing.
Sukshma is spoken of
in... It won't be subtle for some group of people.
What? Yeah. No, it's relative, but no, not really. I mean, those who are in that level, that is subtle. That is not gross for them. That is subtle. In a physical thing, at a very base level, sukshma means this. That this weaving or embroidery is so fine that you can't see it. It is woven by a weaver. You can't see it. You think it's a print. It is... In many cases, you can see the weave. It's like big and very prominent. That is gross. Your behavior may be very, very very bad, and we can say that's what a gross behavior. Subtle is that which is delicate, which is very fine. In this case, sukshma will actually be used. It will be said sukshma embroidery. Sukshma means that which is very fine. So now that which is very fine, you take it to another level. That which you cannot see, you can only perceive, you can feel. Which you can only feel. Some people who have meditated and who are in a different level can perhaps feel. Maybe we also cannot feel a lot of things. That is called subtle. Alright. You are asking me for a language lesson here. You are lucky that my Mercury is strong. Yes. You ask this to Guruji, he'll get mad. This is a language thing.
Yes.
Okay, you have to study this. This is a language thing. You did not understand it in the Indian language, nor did you understand it in the foreign language. So it's a language problem. Because this is a word that it is used. Things which are subtle that you... But here, when we talk about subtle level, here we are taking the word subtle to an even higher level, where we are saying that which is subtle, that, as I said, rishis and munis, they can connect to vibrations which are in the universe. They say the universe is vibrating with the Om. Can you hear it? No. But you can hear this, right? This irritating insect. This is gross. Probably he is doing this, the nature is showing this, telling me to use him as an example. That is a gross sound. I can even hear it immediately. But in the universe, they say, is pulsating to the sound of the Om. Can you hear it?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
You can't hear it, right? At this very moment it is pulsating. You can't hear it. That sound is a very sukshma sound.
Yes.
It's a subtle sound. And perhaps those great people, those great rishis, those great realized souls who meditate, even if we meditate, I'm sure we can't, maybe you can, I can't, but those realized souls, maybe you know, who are almost like gods, when they meditate, perhaps they can hear that Om.
It will become gross for them.
No, it is not gross for them. It is subtle.
That
is, no, it is not gross for them. It is subtle. Can we hear the subtle or not? Are we equipped to hear the subtle or not? They are equipped to hear the subtle. We are not equipped to hear the subtle. Somebody who meditates much more can hear the subtle. Somebody who is a rishi, who is a saint, can hear that much more. Somebody who is a god will hear that much more. When Sri Krishna or Ramachandra, who are gods themselves, have come in as avatar, I'm sure they could even feel their pulsation. The first thing in yoga, he was talking to you about yoga. In first thing in yoga, when you, what you are taught is actually to do this subtle hearing and gross hearing. When you begin your yoga session, even before you chant Om, you are taught that. When you are doing yoga nidra, you are taught that. That is what you have to hear. The highest sound to the lowest sound and the lowest sound to the highest sound. And actually when you do that in the process, there is a whole process of doing it, your mind gets still. And your mind gets detached from things. And then you are supposed to do asanas. Only then. My yoga teacher tells me that, you know, I fractured my leg, foot, you know, a few months ago. And I was completely caught, I couldn't do my asanas. Then he said that, no, you can do the asanas in a sukshma sarira. What example I should have given this. He said, sukshma sharira, you do your asanas and it will have equally that much effect. It will have that same effect as physically doing the asanas. Because when you are doing asanas, you have to have your mind and focus and all that on it. If you don't, it is not an asana. It is not going to have an effect. It will be an exercise. So you can do it in your subtle body. So throughout the time when I had my foot fracture, he kept on telling me, do it in your sukshma shari. He made me do it. Okay, you can't move, lie down, now do this, now lift it. You have to do it with that focus. That is sukshma shari. Subtle body. Do the asanas in subtle body. Now did you understand it? And you understood it with the sound, right? So for you, we spend a good 20 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Others have lost out on the lectures on graha. Anyway, remember this. And have that realization in your subtle body. That is why Guruji was shouting at you. Because you are, this is not a part of the thing. This you can understand and discuss and do on your own. I spent 20 minutes doing that. This is cutting out on the teaching on the graha classes.
I wanted to ask if I could look up the dictionary, but...
You don't need to ask that. You are supposed to be learning and studying. You are supposed to be doing that. He asked me about Ayanamsha. I said, go and study. You must learn about Ayanamsha. Even the basic part about it, you must know the astronomical part. Greater debates and all are different things. Must know the basic astronomical thing. That is something you can do on your own. You don't need to be taught that. This is something I was not supposed to waste time on. 9 days of Graha lectures done over 2 days, we have cut time into that also. Okay? I want you to feel it, feel bad about it. That's why I'm telling you this. Your colleagues are very sweet, so they won't say anything. So now let's just go to the next slide. And after this next slide, we can learn. Have your teas not been served?
Sure,
I just checked, yeah. Because he can serve the tea inside. I'll do the slide and then you can take a 5 minute break and then... It's not okay. So let's do this slide and then you can take a break. So this is the apparent motion. This is the apparent motion. What is an apparent motion? Saying that all planets... Now we are continuing this from this discussion of the earlier slide. So what was the main point that we said about the Graha Sandhya definition?
Moving.
That they are all slowly moving. This is what he said. Bodies of light slowly moving. Now we are going to talk a little bit more about this movement of different stages. So what is this apparent movement? So we are saying that all planets are moving from west to east except the nodes Rahu and Ketu. Okay. So what, you know, Guruji told us that, you know, we must use these tips. We must remember that all the grahas are moving from America to India. All the grahas are moving from America to India. Rahu and Ketu are moving from India to America. And there is a further definition in that. He said Rahu is moving from India to America and Ketu is moving from China to America. Because Ketu is related to China. Alright? These are tips. This is actual tip. That's why I'm actually relating back this point to you. He said these are actual tips. This is the way we actually remember things. So all these grahas are moving, but these two are not moving. Okay? So now there's something very interesting. In all this, we say when they are moving, and they are moving west to east, and then, you know, they come to a point, and then they stop. And then they turn around and they move again. So this movement, they say, in between when they change. Remember, grahas are changing and transforming all the time. So in between when they change, in between when they are pausing and turning around and changing, these grahas are completely stable. They are all moving in different speeds, right? Which is determined by astronomy. All the grahas are moving in different speeds. But that point where grahas are moving, then they are stopping and then they are turning. That in between position of turning, they are totally stable. It's supposed to be very good energy of the graha. Stationary, very, very good energy. Okay. Now we have basically the sun and the moon on one side. If we put all the grahas in a line, we have the sun and the moon in one side and we have Rahu Ketu actually on the other end. So we have the two bodies with the extreme light on one end and the other two bodies with no light on the other end. Rahu and Ketu don't have light. Remember, Rahu and Ketu are not physical bodies. They are astral bodies. So they are not a Jyotish Bimba as such, because they don't have lights. So they are at one end and they are moving from India to America. And over there, sun and moon is in the other extreme. And in between you have all the other five grahas. So the sun and moon are in the other extreme. They are full of light. So sun and moon are moving like this from America to India. And Rahu and Ketu are moving like that from India to America. That is America to India, this is America and India to America. So they are moving towards each other, right? The sun and the moon, full of light, Rahu Ketu with no light. They are moving towards each other like that. And so what is happening? They come to a point where the Rahu will eclipse the sun and Ketu will eclipse the moon totally. So when they come face to face with each other like this, they are eclipsing the luminaries. And in between you have the five grahas. Who are the other five grahas? Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus and Saturn. These are the five grahas. So who are these five grahas? These five grahas are called the Tattva grahas. They are the Tattva grahas are also called Tara grahas. Two names. Tattva grahas or Tara grahas. Now you remember we did the Tattva Devi on planets with the Tattvas yesterday. These are the Tattva grahas. This is the most important thing. These five Tattva grahas are very important for us. They are dominating things. They are the ones who are creating things. And so we have those Tattvas mapped onto the planets because they are lording those planets. And then if you have a problem with the Tattva, what do? We worship the Devata. Yes. So Saturn, who is the lord of Saturn? Saturn is which Tattva lord? Vayu Tattva lord. But who is the Devata?
Shiva.
Or Rudra. And what is the Upachara we use for it? Is?
Dandra.
Is not Dandra, is Dhrupa.
Dhrupa.
Yes. Yeah. So the thing is that whenever we do Tattva create, we have a lot of Vayu problem in our chart. Then we say that you light a lot of incense sticks, light a lot of Dhrupa, light a lot of Agarbatti. Remember, we hinted at this. So the Panchatattvas are related to these five planets. The two luminaries and the two astral body planets are there, who eclipse each other. So these five planets are making their play all over you. Now, you know, in Western astrology, when they actually talk about Neptune and, you know, there's this whole talk. A lot of our students also ask, not our students, many people who are not our students, but they ask, why don't we use Pluto and Neptune and Uranus and etc. So the thing is that why it has not been used, firstly, they don't fall into this category of Panchatattva grahas. We are interested in Panchatattvas because that is how we are made up. And secondly, all these planets, these Navagrahas are visible with their eyes, Saptagrahas actually. Rahu and Ketu are not visible. These Saptagrahas are visible with their eyes. Beyond Shani, it is not visible. So they use something that which are visible, these Jyotish Bimbas who are affecting our body. That is the reason why in Jyotish they are using this. That is their logic. Okay? Every system of astrology has their logic. This is the logic because many people have asked why it has not been used by the Rishis. These are the two reasons why it has not been used. Okay? Now these five in-between planets, what they do is they sometimes follow Rahu Ketu and they sometimes follow the Sun. That is what they are doing. When they are following Sun and the Moon, they are full of light. It's all very good. When they are following Rahu and Ketu, they are getting involved in a Rahu and Ketu kind of way. So these motions, which are called the apparent motion, is this. Now, when we are talking about this movement from east to west, that is movement from India to America, this movement is called retrogradation. The real word is retrogradation and not retrogression. Retrogression is a much more simpler word to use. So the word that is used is retrogradation. So sometimes what happens for these five planets, because of this, they are unable to follow any one of them. Maybe they are in that point where they have slowed and stopped and they are changing positions, or when they are slowing and stopping and turning around, it is called retrogradation. Sometimes what happens when they are doing that, they are unable to follow either Sun Moon or Rahu-Ketu. When they are not following either groups, the light group and the dark group, when they are not following, then it is called, they are neutral. And then it is good.
That's stationary, right?
Huh?
That's stationary?
That is stationary. Then they are not this thing, and there they are very auspicious at the time, they are very intelligent. Grahas which are neutral, who are not moving either this or that, that means at the point where they have stopped before they are turning around, that stopping point where they are totally stable, their intelligence is very high, they are very neutral, they are neither here nor not there. That which is very stable is what? That which is neutral is what? Is sattva. So sattva guna will be very high. So planet in that motion, that movement will be very, very important. So you are supposed to, we are, so it is neither Ida nor Pingala, it is always Saraswati. You know we have three nadis in our body. One is Ida, one is Pingala, one going up, one going down, and the other which is going up. Both are going, going down actually. Ida and Pingala, and then they are balanced by the central nadi of Saraswati, which is right in the middle. Okay? So it's perfect balance is Saraswati. Perfect balance is the sattva guna. So it is very good when planets are like that. Now, when we are talking about the speed of the planet, what planet you think is the fastest? Moon is the fastest. Who is the second fastest? Mercury. Who is the third fastest? This is what is the apparent motion. Venus. After that is Sun. After that is actually Sun in the apparent motion. Then is Mars. You are right, it is Mars. Then Jupiter. Then Saturn. Then Rahu Ketu. So actually the apparent motion Sun comes over there. Otherwise Sun will be there before Moon. And Sun and Moon is the light group and Rahu and Ketu are in the dark group. So what we are supposed to do? We have now seen that planets which are moving... after this we go more into the movement of the planets, and when we go into the movement of the planets you will eventually have to know about the movement of the planets in your charts also, to know which planets are how. So now this whole zodiac, this is Bhagrahanam, remember this is the study of the word Bhagrahanam we are doing. So this whole thing, right, or this whole zodiac is moving around a point. And what is this point called? This point is called Brahmanavi. This point is called Brahmanavi. Where is this Brahmanavi? This is in the Milky Way. All of you know about the Milky Way? So in the Milky Way is a point called Brahmanavi. And around the Brahmanavi, this zodiac is moving. Now this entire Milky Way is also moving around another point. That point is called Vishnunabhi. So there are circles within circles. There are movements within movements. Right? There are so many different kind of motions. So the Vishnu Puran book that is given over there in your kit bag. In that Vishnu Puran book, you study this whole part. It's written very beautifully. Because Vishnu, now little bits of it is in other Puranas also, but it was originally given in Vishnu Puran, and it is taught by the same Parashara. You see, so there he writes in detail about the Brahmanavi and Vishnunavi. So please read that.
Which chapter, please?
I think you can see in the beginning only, the chapter heading will be Sigrun chapter. It will be that about Grahas, and the chapter will say about Grahas and all those things. When you go to the chapter, it will begin with a discussion of all this. So this entire movement is Rajas. Remember Graha Vista, Rajas. Chakras within chakras, circles within circles, which are moving. Now what happens when we stop moving? We die. When we stop moving, we only stop moving when we die, right? The creation and life is all about the movement. So when we die, we become a dead body. and that is called a shava. In Sanskrit, it is called a shava. A shava, literal translation, is a corpse. We become a dead body. When we stop moving, we die and we become a dead body. But in that sense, after death, in that state, if we meet our Ishta Devata, then we become Shiva. So Shava plus Ishta is Shiva. So we can only become Shiva is if we meet the Ishta. Ishta. Ishta is your Aradhya God. So this whole thing is about movement. Whole thing is about transformation. The grahas are moving. They are moving. You will now soon learn. They are moving and then they increase their speeds. They lower their speeds. They lessen their speed. They become stationary. So it's a constant process of transformation that is happening. Alright. It's a constant process of transformation. And this is the rajas. The grahana, grahas move all the time. And we as part of the grahas move all the time. Okay? And so our whole aim is to be, eventually to be Shiva. Eventually to stop moving and to transform ourselves and meet our Ishta and be Shiva. Till we are doing that, we are caught in this movement of the grahas. Okay? So now you take a break, have your tea, and we come back and speak more on motions.
When we meet the Ishta, it is from Jivatma to become Paramatma.
Yes, absolutely.
So then what we say in the heart, there is both Paramatma and Jivatma, which is side by side. So that Ishta is...